Hey, hey, live from Los Angeles. Caitlin is taking a sick day, so it's you and me, EZR, today on the Bachelor Masters podcast.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, you might have listened to our countdown episode last week where we went through the contestants. A couple surprises is that this first show is more Bachelor in Paradise than American Idol, although it sounds like that's going to change as they move forward. But also, we really didn't get to know really any of the contestants except for Jamie, Trevor, Ryan, and a couple others, right? Like, it wasn't like a free-for-all, here's everyone. It was just focusing on a few individuals.
Yeah, plenty of relationships formed that we didn't get to see form. I guess it's hard for them to do that when we don't know any of the contestants. Yeah. Unlike Bachelor in Paradise, where we're like, oh, look at those two.
The thing that always bugs me, you know, they fly all these people in for a dating show. And so everyone's in the dating mindset. And so everyone couples up immediately. If one sentence were changed on the instruction sheet for the contestants, if instead of saying, get on the airplane because you're going to come be on this dating show, if it just said, get on the plane because you're going to be in this music show, then there wouldn't be any hooking up at all. It's just because they were told it was a dating show. That's why they're all hooking up. If they were told it was a music contest, there would be no hooking up.
I guess it made me feel awkward when people were walking in and first night at the mansion, people are walking in.
Yeah.
And whoever's on the sitting down, who's already walked in, has to size the other person up, whether it's for competition or for dating. That to me is inherently gross. So I have a problem with that aspect of the dating
world. Well, it just makes me think, like, if you met the love of your life your soulmate, if it wasn't in the context of meeting somebody, you wouldn't think to date them. You know what I mean? It's like you could pass by someone on the subway, hey, and that could be the love of your life, and you would never know it. But if you met the same person at a dating event, then you would date. It's just this little switch flips when you are on a dating show versus the exact same show if it were a music show.
Yeah. It also makes you act.
Yeah, exactly.
It also makes you feel like you should act like that and not like someone that you wouldn't want to ever date. You might look at in a dating context because you're like, well, you know what? I'm already here. I'm on like a speed dating show.
Right.
So it's a little, it's obviously it's forcing them someplace that maybe they don't want to be, or that would be my bigger concern.
Right.
You know, we obviously said it, but as well as I'm sure a lot of people thought it, that this is completely based on A Star Is Born, the remake of a remake.
I know. It's like Barbra Streisand. What would she think of this whole thing?
Yeah, she's still alive. Like, there's no need to.
is she literally alive or figuratively alive?
I mean that as that not enough time has passed for them to really have made that remake to begin with.
I know. And I like how Chris Harrison like explains the plot as if we didn't know, as if there was a plot.
as if the plot is any kind of good precursor for what a relationship should be. The plot is, spoiler alert, but he's not a healthy man who should be going into a relationship.
Right.
Bradley Cooper in the movie, I don't know his character name. And right. Lady Gaga is kind of too naive and innocent to enter into a relationship. Like, the whole premise is ridiculous. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of naive and innocent, there's Jamie.
Well, she's pretty cute. I mean, she's cute. She's not just physically cute. I mean, she acts cute. She's innocent, right?
She went on 100 dates, however that happened.
Wait, what? I didn't hear that.
Her bio says she's been on 100 dates, and then she said it on the show. She said, I've been on 100 dates, and you're like, no one I met, or something like that. So it makes you wonder, like, was she quarantined before everyone else and she was on Zoom with 100 people? Like, how do you have 100 dates?
I want to talk about Jamie, but can we talk about the format that we think it's going to be? Just because that seems like a good start to this first episode.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're going to hook up. Men are going to get the roses this next time. They're going to bring in the three women that we didn't see. And then they're going to settle all that. And then I assume the last three episodes will be more like American Idol.
Right, right, right. So there was six filmings of the last, you were thinking the last half, right?
Right.
So that makes total sense. Two and two. For every two filmings, it's one episode.
Right.
And what kind of has me questioning it is that, can you cheat? Like, say you're right. paired up with somebody, and then you, the whole time you really wanted this other guy or girl. Are you still in a room with them?
So did you watch the previews for like the season?
More or less.
Because wasn't there a big cheating scandal alluded to?
I did not get that. I did not read into that if I saw it.
Well, they're going to confront.
I hope so. That's the only thing that can make it spicy at this point.
Is it Trevor? Because.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Whoever.
That seems like it happens next week.
Yeah, but I think I recall seeing something that made it seem like there was going to be some cross partner hooking up going on during the singing portion. Because they must have some mechanism to allow people to change partners. Otherwise, where's the drama? Is it really just going to be about singing?
Yeah, I know. That's going to be the hard part to get through if it is just about singing at a certain point. I also want to address that publishing and songwriting, you know, singing a song that's been published or singing a or having a song be on a show is really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we kind of touched upon how those little things will affect the show last time. But the Recording Industry Association of America, or the RIAA, is the one who pretty much has to clear everything. So this show pretty much had to become like on par with American Idol to even right. get any of the clearings. And, right. you know, you pay for the publishing rights, but not the recordings. So it might be a little bit less expensive. But I think it's important to kind of, this is why we're hearing a lot of no-name songs, all of us. Like, I heard one song I recognized. Did, right?
Well,
the Stand By Me.
So what, songs, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So you wait. So what you're saying is, when they huddle around the fireplace and break out in song, at some point a producer has to pause them and say, this is the song you're going to sing?
Probably. or
right?
they have like a catalog. Have you ever been to karaoke?
Oh,
and
yeah.
These songs you can sing.
Here's and a slimy binder that's had beer and wing sauce spill on it for the last 3 years that you have to flip through.
Yeah.
That's what karaoke is.
And if you've ever been... I was going to say, if you've ever been to a legit karaoke place, like someplace that actually pays for their songs.
Right, like in Koreatown.
That costs about $10,000.
Right.
It's not even the bar. Sometimes it's the bar buying it if it's a karaoke bar. But if it's a traveling DJ, that DJ at some point had to have paid that. So
right.
licensing, publishing music is super touchy and difficult to get, and I think someone from the FAA, if I'm not wrong, can walk into your bar and shut it down. Yeah. So like,
yeah, you'll see lots of bars like that have like no covers, like a sign that says no covers, so that if someone's playing their guitar, they can't, you know, that means they haven't paid the licensing fee to ASCAP or whatever.
Right. Right. The only thing I could kind of think of that people would relate to this on is the happy birthday song, right? Because
right.
they just recently decided that that's okay to sing.
Yeah, after like 50 years.
Yeah.
Some judge somewhere was like, oh, actually, it's not copyrighted. Yeah,
right.
So that's why TV shows for most of our life, they sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow instead of Happy Birthday. Because
right.
Happy Birthday was a copyright that was enforced by some family somewhere. And some judge, I guess, decided that that was no longer the case.
And it could be that you get far enough along that you that they maybe paid. I mean, I think we did a like, you know, let's just say they pay $30K for a whole songbook of like D-list songs that you might recognize, but don't really, you know, they're not anyone's favorite. But this, in comparison, I think is a very expensive show. I don't know how it could ever have flown. I mean, it's coming at the perfect time. They're going to get their money's back. They're going to get their money's worth.
Yeah, they couldn't have asked for a better world event than a pandemic to force everyone to watch this right. show.
Because otherwise, this, I honestly don't think this show would have been worth it money-wise. Normally, Bachelor only makes money. I mean, you're not paying any of the contestants.
Well, not only money-wise for them, but I mean, I got lots of tweets to our account at Bachelor Master saying like, hey, I really don't think I'm going to watch the show, or, you know, do you think you're going to watch the show? And that changed just in the last week to, okay, I'm going to be forced to watch the show. And it actually was a pretty good show. So, you know, they might, I mean, there's going to be the people that are going to watch it regardless. And then there's going to be the people that were only going to watch it if it was good. And it turned out to be pretty good. So they won that because we're all forced to sit at home and watch this. And there was really nothing else on competing networks last night, except for Better Call Saul, which I DVR'd, of course.
Production is definitely Bachelor level. So we'll definitely like it. Anyone who likes The Bachelor likes it because it's like warm soup right now. But but anything to me not in this format would have been a no. And for the once, I think not for, I mean, I, every once in a while I do when they're right. I will side with Bachelor Nation. I mean, for the most part, I think everyone who goes on The Bachelor has the same disingenuous motives. But this one is too blatant. It's too career advancing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the premise of the show.
Yeah.
To win a music contest.
I mean, we don't even know what the prize is. There is no prize.
Yeah, that's a good point. They never mentioned what the prize is. There is no prize. you win the show.
Yeah, that's on your resume. Okay. Well, Tyler, okay, so let's just address what Tyler Cameron said on Twitter.
Okay.
He said something like, okay, now I want to quote it verbatim, but I didn't write it down, but it basically said something like, Jed is the spiritual producer of the show. It's because of him that they made it. Thoughts?
Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were waiting for me to retort. Well, let me explain to our listeners what's getting you worked up is that one of our friends on Instagram, right? The account Hannah Brown Stan account, that's the name of the account. Hannah Brown Stan account put up an Instagram that said the same thing. And then at some point after that, Tyler Cameron tweeted that. So you could make the case that Tyler ripped off.
We actually said something like that too. I mean, I think a lot of Bachelor accounts picked up on the fact that Jed is a, I mean, it's not a good thing that he, there's no, first off, I don't think things like this take years of development.
Right.
The movie obviously came out before Jed was on Hannah Brown season. Maybe it was some kind of, like, maybe it pushed it forward, his whole scandal. But my problem is with Hannah Brown's men are this toxic group of men. And weirdly enough, one of the most toxic ones wasn't even in that group, Luke P.
Right.
So they excluded him because he was too obviously toxic. But the rest of them were a bunch of horrible, I mean, what's the words here for them? How many adjectives did we assign to them when we saw them play out their little, I mean, they gaslit people, they bullied people, and now after the fact, they know all these horrible things about all these people and they still form a wall to protect them.
Right.
So Jed is unquestionably a horrible man and Tyler's still friends with him and even is saying things like, you know, oh, give my buddy here some credit.
Right.
I think it's more proof of what a scumbag he is, and symbolically what a scum association all the I mean, we called them the bro.
Yeah, what'd you call them? You called them the
bro mob?
Something like that.
Yeah. But I feel like they probably had their own name for themselves. Now, if you're thinking back to Hannah Brown season, think of all the guys that traded that salmon jacket around.
Oh, all I know.
Guys. Yeah. So it was a concerted effort. Like, it wasn't just some loose, it was a full frontal assault against a lot of people's actual mental well-being. It's not just in our heads. These men were very toxic men. And I think those are way more toxic than the lone wolf toxic man, which was Luke P. Yeah. So anyway, I want to make sure we get that out there.
Yeah.
That's not passable to me. Like, you can't.
Well, it raises the question, what's their intention with the show? Because Mike Fleiss, executive producer extraordinaire, he doesn't do anything, you know, without some deep motive. like what are they trying to push here? You know, is it, there's so much that could be read into it. I mean, ABC, the Disney ABC juggernaut, is really good at creating stars, right, that they develop. And, you know, are they expecting the winner or even the runner-ups or whatever to get album deals and, you know, be the next Kelly Clarkson? I mean, on the one hand, I agree with you. Yeah, these things take years to develop. But on the other hand, the show isn't all that complicated. I mean, if we break it down.
Right, right.
You get a bunch of people showing up. And I got to say, I really, really enjoyed not having to sit through the limo entrances.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people either like or dislike that. I'm not trying to be criticizing anyone that likes that element of the regular shows. But it was nice to just have everyone in the mansion ready to go.
Yeah.
Then they segregate them by gender and have them live in bunk beds.
Yeah, very bachelor pad.
Yeah.
Meets bachelor and paradise.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, upon seeing the bunk beds, says, I think I got the direct quote here, "This is literally the perfect place to find love."
She also said, "This is literally a beautiful sunset." And I'm like, well, that's not an incorrect sentence.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
she takes literally to the next level. She actually uses literally in literal senses.
Yeah. I mean, if it is what it is, then
right. It is literally.
It's just an emphasis word at this point. It just means really.
Yeah.
Popular standards, not our own. Well, I mean, yes, you're right. In a lot of ways, Mike Fleiss definitely throws spaghetti at the wall and whatever happens, happens. There's not, you know, this is why anyone can be a producer. Anyone. We could come up with any idea.
Yeah,
we heard him talk.
Give me a pile of cocaine in like a month and some production assistants to get me coffee, and I could come up with a half dozen shows.
Yeah, bet half of them are going to be successful. You can bet that.
Right.
You know, it's not a hard formula, and he already has a built-in structure.
What, cocaine and production assistants?
No, I mean...
the Bachelor franchise.
Anything when you put men and women in a house. I mean, yeah, come sure. on. But yeah. The thing is, he got very lucky because this format wouldn't really work without that kind of ABC look to it.
Right.
So he's gotten away with a lot. And, you know, he got away with a lot of apparently spousal abuse, too. So he's a very lucky man. Like,
yeah.
No one cares about anything he does. He just gets everything greenlit.
Yeah. Okay. I think the real if there's an innovation to the show, it's that they're kind of splitting it into two shows. Like, I wasn't expecting that. And I think that's a pretty cool premise. We're not forced into American Idol early. We get all the Bachelor stuff out of the way. And yet the people that like the American Idol kind of stuff are going to get that later on.
Just for reference, because we don't live in a Bachelor bubble, this is reminiscent of how newer shows are working. So they might have ripped that right off of, like I said last week, Love is Blind, the show on Netflix.
Because they have to, like, hook up first.
And right, then... there's two parts.
Got it.
Yeah.
Do you think they go to a reality TV show producers convention every year where they work all this out? Like the newest trends in reality TV.
I would, but I like, you know, would care about a job like that. These people are just like, oh, okay, this week I'm doing, you know, the next in 10 years, they're going to own a church in the middle of nowhere. And then, you know, like, Craig, do you know these people? Because I know these people.
Yeah. I mean, you know them. Yeah. Okay.
They are not the most stable of people.
I know. That's why I think I'd be perfect.
Oh, I know. I think you'd be perfect too. But these, I mean, I could tell you some stories of actor that was a up and coming actor at one point. I mean, maybe you could, I don't know. Anyways, he was an up and coming actor at one point. Then he turned into the head of a subdivision of a studio for VH1. Then he turned into producing conventions, any kind of conventions. It's just his name and his clawing way to the top. Now he owns a church in the middle of like Wyoming. Like these, they're just like fly by the seat of your pants
right
kinds of people. So
is it a friend of yours or this is just someone you read about?
No, it's a person I know and have known, but I'm saying that's a reality. That's a producer. That's what their lives are like.
Yeah.
Not all of them. There's actual serious people in the business, but then there's these like, there's a reason why they get Hollywood people get that reputation.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of craziness.
True. I mean, you look at the guys that run Breaking Bad, right? Like Vince Gilligan, and they're like old school filmmakers. And if you listen to their podcast, it's, we use this lens on this camera and made sure that the lighting, you know, it's like they're the art of filmmaking. But then you look at someone like Mike Fleiss, for instance, and he's living this Hollywood life, and you think about how much bad TV. I mean, you and I, Ezer, we like old TV. We like 80s, 90s crappy television, right?
Yeah.
So, totally. I mean, if you watch Knight Rider with
David Hasselhoff. I got to sit in a car once.
if you actually sit down and watch that show, which I know you and I have both done, It is a horrible show. The show has very little content that they fill up by just showing the car drive around. A staple of 80s hour-long TV shows is they'll show cars driving up to a house. You ever notice that? It's like filler. It's because they need to make 42 minutes out of nothing. So they write, you know, maybe 15 minutes worth of dialogue, and then they just fill it up with, all right, here's 1 minute of a car driving up to a driveway and coming to a stop. Think about how many millions of dollars these producers made off the backs of these TV shows. Because, you know, the advertising comes in, they just pillage the money for themselves. And then the show ends up like it was. It wasn't until the streaming services came along where they said, okay, the money is going to go to the shows. And the networks had to pull their act together in order to create quality television. So,
yeah, obviously there was there's still... When there was, you know... It's not always that competition breeds competence, but sometimes it does.
Yeah, this way the free market really worked out because now we actually get just. And so, you know, maybe Mike Fleiss.
But it's only for
a
little bit because then they're in cahoots after a while.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. They co-produce and they. I mean, Mike Fleiss in some ways could be seen as a redemption story, right? Like if you read his bio, he was up north, right? He was like a newspaper reporter and hated it and came to L.A. and then pitched that, you know, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? And then by all accounts, he would like openly drink and do drugs all day in his production offices. It was just like an endless party. But now he's maybe not like that. Maybe he's like settled down as like a serious producer of these shows and takes it seriously. He's made the transition to the golden age of television. So yeah. Anyway.
Well, anyway, if you guys have, I just saw an episode of Miami Vice with Emo Phillips and Phil Collins in it.
Ooh.
And if you ever want to see a bunch of filler TV like we're talking about, there's an episode. I think it's on Hulu for free. It was really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
So if you can imagine. And so I couldn't even get through it. Phil Collins plays like a jewelry robber and, you know, he has like the hair for it. And then Emo, like he's also scams game shows and Emo Phillips is the If you guys don't know who Emo Phillips is, it's this old comedian that's still alive and really funny. But it's just so bad. So bad. So, yeah. Very, very critical of the old media. Anyway, okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think this show, like you said, it's high production value. It's Bachelor level. You know, this is definitely a golden age show. They didn't phone it in. Winter Games, I feel like they phoned in. But,
yes.
No, this they seem to put some thought into.
Unless they can... Mike Fleiss is a very lucky man because he also gets producers that hopefully in the second part of the show will create some drama for them because that's all right. That matters. There's right. the show's gonna be dead in the water if you don't do something.
Right.
Okay.
Well, six Jamie. Episodes isn't that much. I mean, it'll be over before we know it, right?
Yeah, that's about how long. It's a little bit shorter than a Bachelor show. I think a Bachelor's 8 weeks.
Is it?
I think
feels like a lot longer.
Yeah, it feels longer. Yeah. And there's a known component, you know, you're like this and then this and then like, you know, what's going to happen. So here we're just like, oh, where are we going? Okay.
Okay. So Jamie,
yes, go ahead. Okay.
Who inadvertently uses literally correctly.
Yes. Without actually knowing the meaning of the word.
Right. Wait, so you want to know what I think of her?
Well, I mean, okay. My favorite thing, like I actually kind of like her. I can see why guys like her. And my favorite thing she did this week is how she got out of knowing a song by just pretending like she was nervous. And I think that was a pretty cute moment. So I'm just going to play it real quick.
I see.
I feel like I'm just like feeling nervous right now. I feel like I just need to like, I'm like, overwhelmed. But I feel like if we just like go through it, yeah. We can like test it out.
Yeah.
Feel extremely nervous because I love John Mayer and I love the song Gravity, but that's not my normal style that I would choose to perform. You know, I do mostly pop country, so it's a little different.
So
yeah, she was setting it up in case she sucked, you know, but she didn't suck. So
or if she didn't know the song at all,
right?
Because that's a perfect thing to say. I this is a personal story that is not going to be funny to anyone but me, so I'm sorry. But one time, I went to this weird sound bath. Do you know what a sound bath is, Craig?
No idea what a sound bath is.
You just basically sit in a room and people play, like, gongs and stuff. And you close your eyes and you listen. And sometimes it's in these weird places. Like, there's this place in the desert here in Southern California called the Integratron, and it's a wooden dome built a long time ago in the 60s or 50s or something, and they play the gongs at certain times and you close your eyes and you kind of fall asleep, but you can also kind of feel things. I don't know. Yeah, it's very hippy dippy stuff, but it's fun too. Went to this place in the desert, and I happened to take the tour because a friend said they wanted to take the tour. And then the guy on the tour was like, and this is where our leader met the aliens. And then the rest of the time we were looking at each other like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then he had alien hybrid babies. So if anyone has a chance to go to the Integratron, go to this place once the quarantine is lifted, of course. But right. I went to this other sound bath thinking, if there's aliens at this, I'm sold. Like, I love this. And this lady got up afterwards and didn't know the words to Imagine or didn't know the right. intonations. Everyone knows that song. And right. I seriously couldn't stop laughing. Like, it was like a scene out of The Office. So cringe.
Now, when you would go to these, was this something where you single and you thought this might be a good place to meet men?
No, I never have thought that about any place in my life.
See, when I'm single, that's...
I can see what you're saying, but I would not want to meet any of these men. These are like Sheridan style men.
Did you go by, were you?
No,
So you went by yourself or you went with friends?
To the sound bath? Second sound bath? The first one.
Any of the sound baths.
Oh, okay. The first one was with a boyfriend at the time and a bunch of friends.
I see.
And the second one was when I was pregnant, so I'm not going to go there to meet men. I mean, I think it's funny. I think I like seeing people that I could. Like,
you thought that the sound bath would help the pregnancy somehow?
Yeah, actually, I did. That was really my thinking.
I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's fine. Your pregnant brain, for the women out there who choose to be pregnant or have been pregnant, Your pregnant brain decides lots of things for you
right.
that you are not in charge of, and you it's better to go along with it than not.
Okay.
But all yeah, right. No, I can see the not like how strange it sounds, and I also think that I'm lucky enough to live somewhere where I can do whatever crazy thing pops in my mind, and there's probably an outlet for it because. Right.
There's performance options. Art, just like any. I mean, it's performance art, just like anything else.
It's kind of like that, except you like fall asleep.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I did. I went to this thing where it was like acupuncture in your ear.
Uh-huh.
Which yeah. I guess is pretty common, but yeah. And, I was kind of tired going into it, but like as soon as they put the ear pins in, I was out. Like yeah. out. So. I mean, that's what you go to those for, is to get a good hour of sleep, I guess.
That's exactly what it was the first time I went. It was so deep and relaxing. And, you know, they're blaming it all on crystals and on the wood dome. And I'm thinking it's because I don't have a TV to distract me from sleep. Like, I don't
care. Yeah, right.
So,
have you ever been to a Korean spa? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Those are awesome.
Mm-hmm. No. Well,
oh, I love them.
I don't like steam, often. So it was suffocating. But you have to wear their clothes,
yeah,
right? And then they're open 24 hours. So I know someone who, when traveling, that's where she would stay because you pay a flat fee.
Yeah.
And then you're there for as long. So she would spend the night there because it's open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really smart
awesome.
Move.
Awesome. I've done it before. The only problem, I mean, honestly, I could live at this one that I really like.
Yeah,
and it's not Wilshire. Just, yeah, I mean, they're all on Wilshire, but there's a few here that are good. Those places are awesome because there's different rooms, right? There's a pit clay room,
yeah,
there's a cold room.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like hottest. Wet,
but they're
dry.
But they're all like based on stones and crystals and stuff. Yeah. So like a jade room, and then
I like hit panic. It like vertigo sets in when I'm in that place. But I can. It's just because I don't like steam. But like I can see the why people would like it.
Well, if you ever get a massage, you have to be completely naked in front of everybody.
That's what I don't like, and I don't want to like body shame anyone. That's not what I'm saying this for, but. You have to be naked to go into the hot tubs.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense to me. Why can't you wear your Speedo or your shorts or something? They will make you take off your shorts if you're wearing your shorts. Baffles me. And it's not like I'm shy by any means. It's just I don't like it hanging around and floating. I like having some structure down there. And then,
yeah,
it's like, why do I have to take them off? So that even ruins the fun for the hot tub for me. I don't know.
Well, everyone at these, I mean, everyone I've ever every time I've gone has always been much older, you know, senior citizens that go. Everyone's a senior citizen except me normally. Right. So, but I've actually gone to take my kid to it when she was sick.
Oh, really?
So that, yeah, like just the steam and the healing and all that stuff and just hang out there for a few hours and there's food that's good food and there's a rooftop and you know you get to hang out. I mean not always, but there's the chance to be a rooftop at the ones we go to. And there's even one with a natural spring. So LA is built, as you know, on tar pits. And so there's natural springs in places. There was a spa that's built on top of a natural spring. So you can use that. Anyway. Yeah, so I'm all
anyway,
for that.
Okay, so Jamie, she did that thing I don't like, which is that women want to be the hotter one in the relationship, so they don't date men with, you know, the same number as them. So she, like, didn't want to be with
Ryan,
and she ended up with Trevor because she talked herself out of it because I assume it's because she wants to be the cute one in the relationship.
Whoa, that's a lot of deduction.
I mean, it's just like classic. It was classic, though. I mean, you see it all the time. I mean, you've heard me complain about this on the podcast over and over.
Yeah,
and I still
don't really get it. Yeah.
It's just women, a lot of times, don't date guys that are up to their caliber of looks because they want to be the cuter one. And
oh my
God. This one, she actually explained the process. She's like, oh, you made me feel so comfortable, and, you know, we have a lot of chemistry, and you have a perfect face. That wasn't what she wanted, so she went with Trevor.
So you're saying women do this in general because they want to walk down the street and they want the couple to, they want someone else to say, oh, that makes sense because she's very cute and she's good, she's better looking than him. Because I don't
think about how many couples, think about couples and think about how many you know of where the man is as good looking as the woman.
That is such a hard thing to track.
Tom Brady and Giselle, there's one. Anyone that John Stamos is dating. but normally it's not like that. And I think she walked us through that process.
That is so strange. I know you've said this a bunch, but I'm still like, that is not what goes through my mind as a woman. And
okay, so
a
why
lot
didn't
of women.
She like, why didn't she like Ryan?
I think it was just based on chemistry. Okay. That guy, Trevor, that Jamie ended up picking, stood in front of Katy Perry. And Katy Perry had nothing to say except, well, you're so hot. Like, this guy must be very good looking in real life.
I see what you're saying.
And so she's picking who she's more sexually attracted to. And the other guy, I mean, he seems like a nice, like, you know, guy. He's just a little bit you know, he's a little bit milquetoast. She just is more attracted to Trevor.
But Trevor looks like Jed, right? We're talking about the same Trevor.
I mean, he looks like a lot of people. He looks like every man USA. So I don't really, even his haircut and his beard choice and his, except for the one thing that did stand out to me is his horrible options for the rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. Like he was wearing like a Timberland jacket. What do you call those? The fluffy inside
Sherpa? It was Jed's jacket.
Oh.
You didn't pick up on that?
No.
Oh, it's all over pictures of Jed wearing that same jacket.
Well, I mean, it's not Jed's jacket.
Well, it's not like Jed put it in a box and shipped it to him, but it's the jacket Jed wore. Fluffy inside.
You just don't wear it to a rose ceremony.
Well, they were all wearing, they were like just country western or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. Well, anyway, I just think Jamie picked who she liked better because I think some people might say that Trevor is higher in numbers than Jamie. Could they? I don't know. I don't see it that way. I see them as pretty matched.
Okay.
Give me a good example of that someday. I get what you're saying in general, but women tend to be attracted more to why a guy is interesting.
Watch any... Well, okay. I'll just stop there. I don't want to get myself into trouble. Okay. Next up is somebody
Matt
who...
Matt and Rudy. Oh.
I was going to say somebody who's much better looking on the show than her bio picture.
Julie. Is that her name? Can I just double check real quick? Hold on.
Yeah.
I just don't want to get anything wrong.
She picks Sheridan, right?
Yeah, she picks Sheridan. Yeah, Julia. No, not Julie.
Yeah, Julie.
Julia.
Julia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a surprising she seems to have a good personality. She picked your boy Sheridan.
Yeah, that seemed kind of like a plant, didn't it? Like
well, she was getting hit up hard by that
by
you know, Mr. Jeff Bald guy that
yeah.
Sheridan didn't think he had a chance and then he gets picked or something.
Yeah. She has a very, to me, like an 80s look.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you told me, if she walked down the street and you told me she was 50, I would believe you. But like in a good way, she looks good, but she just has a very an outdated look, but I'm not sure how much is how that's on her or how that's on her genes.
Right.
Genetics genes, right. But I don't know. She seemed fine. Maybe I'd have to see her in person because I was definitely like, well, this woman everyone wants. Okay.
But what you want to talk about is Rudy and
Matt. Beardo Matt. Yeah.
Matt the Beard.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got to say about that? Do you have a clip?
Yeah, I have a clip, but let's play our drop.
Okay. Let's generalize about men. All men are
completely repressed. There are no exceptions. All 3 billion
men are like this. I remember saying we're never going to play this again.
Too bad.
He is not emotionally stunted.
Yeah, he is.
No, cut this off. This is so not true. He got railroaded.
I love Rachel Bloom. She just had a kid. Good for her. Anyway, okay. So I really have to generalize about men here, though. Do you really need a motive for men to be disingenuous? You don't. They will be disingenuous at every waking moment of... they don't care. So
tell us what you really think.
Having the women pick first on this first episode of Listen to Your Heart was so bad for the women. It sets up this horrible expectations that they're going to be, that the men are going to be these nice little lambs for the rest of the season. The men will pretend to like, you know, we've seen it over and over on Bachelor in Paradise. Men will always pretend to like women. And I think I'm not sure about this, but we should do a diagnostic test. I don't know. A test where we're seeing if they always make women choose first when it's an even male-female ratio, because it is very destructive to women's like psyche when they do that. Okay.
Wait, so what's desperate, this got to do with Matt?
Right. So desperate Matt wants to keep his spot.
Desperate Matt?
Yeah, look, desperate Beardo Matt.
I got no
Matt.
Particular love for Matt here. You know, he's not my style. I'm not into the hipster look. But what the hell did Matt do wrong?
Every single time he was taken aside and asked what's happening, like, you know, what's happening with you and Rudy, or what's happening with you and Mel, or, you know, whatever, his first sentence or his first little phrase was, well, I definitely want to stick around. So, well, I definitely want that rose.
Well,
so
that's the
yes, but you can be friends with someone and it looks like the last half of the roses that were given out were friendship roses, weren't they?
Yeah. Okay.
You could do it that way. You don't have to, lie to anybody. He wasn't. He was not honest. Okay. So let's talk about what happened, because I don't think Rudy is 100% vindicated here, and he's 100% wrong. But he is like 90% wrong in my mind.
Okay.
They were hitting it off, Matt and Rudy. Uh-huh. Then they got in the hot tub, and I think I'm on Rudy's side here, and I think Caitlin would be too, and she's probably screaming at home going, no, no. Rudy did not want to kiss Matt at that time. You are not like that, Craig, but I agree. You don't have enough chemistry yet. You want to hold off until you're more interested. Absolutely. Good on her for rejecting his forwardness. Okay. He was like, look, if you're not going to kiss me, I'm going to move on because I need that rose. I need that rose. I need that rose. Afterwards.
Okay, argue that point. She's the one that was way going hardcore onto him. It was her idea to go in the hot tub.
Yeah, you want to keep flirting. It's okay to keep flirting.
I think she was the one that was coming on too strong.
But then
and he was just kind of making lemonade out of lemons.
But then there was a standoff where she said, okay, this is too far. And he said, oh, you know what? This is too far. I got to move on. Like, mentally, he said that. Because he didn't say it to her.
So, okay. Put yourself in his shoes. You have somebody coming on really strong first night. You go along with it, and then you decide she's coming on too strong and divert your attention someplace else.
I mean, let me argue your premise, though. It was she coming on too strong? Two other people had already gone in the hot tub, so it gave him an idea. It looked like a nice night.
Yeah.
It could just be that she wanted to go in the hot tub.
Okay, you were going to continue on. Why don't you go on to the next
one? So the regret she feels the next night where she's like, I should have kissed him. It is totally valid. Like, that's when you're wrestling with your emotions, you know, like, I should have kissed him to keep him around, but I didn't want to do it at the time because I'm trying to make sure I like him enough. I'm trying to build up emotion and like for this person. Do you know that that's really important, Craig? Do men out there know how important that is to build up some kind of, you know, that's how you build a relationship in a woman's mind, is you remember all the anticipation and all the like, oh, this is so exciting and I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah.
Okay. Or whatever. Can't wait to see him again. Okay. His mind, he's like, this woman is not as interested in me. And but my goal here is just to advance.
But she was interested in him.
But he doesn't care. He cares about advancing to the next episode.
But that's the point. Chris Harrison came out and said, if you're not in a relationship by tomorrow night, you're out of here. I mean, I have no particular love for this Matt guy, but I just, we know so little, and she was the one that was
no one's stopping
super aggressive. And he was just like, okay. And then he's like, can I kiss you? And then, you know, that didn't happen. And then the next night's a new day, and he ends up going on a date with someone else.
Okay. If we go back and watch everything he ever said, everything has to do with advancing, which is the problem with the show. You're not supposed to just want to advance. You're supposed to be actually interested. Right. And this show only makes it about advancing instead of being actually interested. So let me play one of the things he said. And actually, I'm going to play something that that I think is bad for Rudy and doesn't go in her favor. Like, she dwells on things way too much. So he got the date card and he's going to ask somebody, and he goes up to Rudy I don't know why he goes up to her.
Right.
Why? Okay. Can you defend him there? Why did he go up to her?
Yeah, that all happened really fast.
Yeah. It was badly cut too. So we don't really know what happened.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. Actually, it was oddly constructed.
Yeah. So I'm just going to play it, because here's where I think Rudy was wrong. He didn't, from what we saw, he didn't really say, I'm going to ask you out. But he did kind of, you know, it's kind of like, it reminds me of when men go, what will our children be like? And then a woman 2 years later will say, well, you pretty much asked me to marry you. And he's like, no, I didn't. I just asked what our children would be like. Like, you know, it's... It's a very sneaky male tactic to do what he did to her too. Okay, so let's listen to it.
A word to any men out there that are looking for relationship advice: if you want a woman to know you're committed, talk about children.
No.
Talk about what your children might be like. No, it's true.
I know, but that's
don't lie. But if you actually do want a committed relationship with the person, bring up what your children might be like. That's a really good way to show that you really want to be with that person.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, anyway. So listen for the precursors, always about a rose or about sticking around. And then what does he actually say, and what does she actually interpret, and what do they hear?
Okay.
Definitely want to get a rose this week, so I don't want to blow it. Obviously, we shared a connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would love to go on a date with you. Okay. I think you know that, though.
What kind of stuff do you like to do?
What kind of stuff do you like to do? And then he lets her go off about, I would make us pasta and watch a scary movie and like...
Play it again, please.
Definitely want to get a rose this week, so I don't want to blow it. Obviously, we shared a connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would love to go on a date with you. Okay. I think you know that, though.
What kind of stuff do you like to do?
Wait. So he never said, I want to go on a date with you.
Right. I'm telling you, I don't think Rudy... But he does say, what kind of stuff do you like to do? That's putting in her mind, what would you want to do on this date?
Was this before or after everyone knew he had a date card?
This is when he had a date card, right?
So he's holding the date card and he says, what kind of things do you have to do? When she was confronting him about this, she said that he said specifically, I want to go on a date with you. But he never said that.
Right. But like we said, it was cut weirdly. So we don't know. But what we do see is him asking something that's a little bit, like I said, putting something before something else. Like he never said, if we went on a date, what kind of things would you want to do? Because I'm not decided yet.
But isn't...
He said...
But the date card, you don't get a choice of what to do.
Well, it makes it exciting, though, if you ask a question like that.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Play it one more time.
Oh, my goodness.
Definitely want to get a rose this week, so I don't want to blow it. Obviously, we shared a connection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would love to go on a date with you. Okay. I think you know that, though.
What kind of stuff do you like to do?
And then she walks away and she said, I'm so excited. This is great. And he's like, yay. You know, they both, I mean, maybe it wasn't explicitly said, but you can see why she walked away with that impression.
She pounced on him.
Yeah. This is where I'm saying she dwells too much. She obviously obsesses a little bit too much, but she wasn't completely off. Like,
have you seen that movie?
I'm showing you her like where she's wrong, just to prove my point that he's actually wrong.
Have you seen that movie? Is it 10 Things I Hate About You? No. How to?
Oh my God!
Everyone's in it.
10 Things I Hate About You. Everyone is in. Heath Ledger. That's it. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
He's no. He's just not that into you. That's the movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces. It's very weirdly cut.
And there's the one character who she, like, as soon as she meets a guy, she's like super, like, oh, and then we're gonna, you know, we can get married and we can have kids and all this kind of stuff like that. And then the guy finally, you know, one of the guys she's with finally, it's like, you're coming on way too strong. I don't want to date you anymore. And then she like freaks out while she's giving that, while she's reading to a bunch of school children. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to prove a negative through showing you. Well, anyway, I'm just, I do think he is. I think that was symbolic of how kind of slimy he is and how disingenuous he is. Because he, why let her go on like that? Why not just say...
He didn't. She didn't, but... Okay.
So after that...
What would you have preferred he said?
I would prefer he had said, take her aside and say, look, I'm going to ask someone else. It's not because I'm not interested in you. I'm just trying to feel out my options. And we've seen plenty of men on Bachelor do that.
He would have said, here's how it would have actually happened, though. He would have said, and then she would have blurted out, yes, I'll go on a date with you.
Well, she was trying, so he just to defend her a little bit, but it's not really that defendable. She was trying to make sure, no, she was trying to make up for what didn't happen in the hot tub by saying, I'm excited to go on a date with you. I really want to go. And like basically background, like, you know, the back of that sentence is, I'm really sorry. I want to build our relationship more.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And to my end, like to I think Matt, it's all about, you know, that he has nothing. There's nothing genuine that actually pushed him forward. Like he never had, I don't know, he, you know, Cheyenne picking him felt like a producer plant. picking Matt. Right. Okay. Just to keep him around. So I don't know. Anyway, I don't. So far, yeah. I don't like him. Then that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Okay. All right. Well, well argued, EZR, as always. Who else do we have left to talk about?
Nothing. Just that they never brought up Bree and Chris or Gabe and Mel or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so strange. We like didn't see anything of. Most of the people, yeah, it was just really bizarre. Bree, I think Bree's gonna get a lot of airtime next episode if the previews are to be trusted. And of course, we're gonna be introduced to who'd you say it was, Madison, Melanie?
Oh, the two people that aren't that haven't gotten here yet, yeah. But we know that they're coming are Mariana and Natasha.
Mariana,
yeah,
and Ruby.
No. Oh, Ruby, you're right. I don't know where Ruby is. Maybe she's there.
No, I don't think she is.
Well, it's weird because they said 20 single people, but I counted.
All right. Well, we know something's going to happen. They didn't give us enough to really know these characters, so we'll just wait till next week to figure it all out.
Yeah, yeah. And just for reference, Jack, Josh, Michael Todd, who I'm sure Caitlin's so happy got cut, and Russell got cut. And that's who I really like. I would have been beeline to Russell. Nobody else would have even been on my radar. And that's it. Show would be over. I would just leave with him. So just FYI.
That's funny. Well, you still got Sheridan.
Yeah, but like I said, it was more like the diff.
Yeah.
What I liked about him was that he was a little bit different, but I guess in this show, it doesn't really matter. Like if it was The Bachelorette or The Bachelor, you know, everyone would be making fun of his hair. Yeah. And people kind of did too, right? They're like typical like Austin guy. No, I mean, on this episode, on Listen to Your Heart.
Yeah. No, I know.
People kind of said something about him. Yeah. So anyway, okay.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. And Caitlin will be back next week, we hope, if all goes according to plan. And we will see you next Tuesday. Wait a second. Yeah. Did I just say see you next Tuesday? That's funny.
Why?
You know what that means. You know what that... No. That's an anachronism. Is that the right word? Anachronism? See you next Tuesday. You say that to somebody who you think is a C-U-N-T.
Oh, acrostics? No, I've never heard that.
So we will talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay. Listen to Your Heart, episode 1, season 1, signing off. Bye.
Follow us on social media. Leave a review. Bye.
Bye.